Minerva Radio. Less mainstream, more music.
Welcome to this, our latest edition of Brock and Roll with me, Mike Brocken, here on Minerva Radio, brought to you by the expertise of Caldi Media. And we're still on the theme of important labels this week. And you've just heard, well, just a great gospel song, haven't you? Wade in the Water, given the jazz treatment by the Ramsey Lewis Quartet. And you heard it all the way through. It's a piece of music that you seldom ever hear all the way through, because somebody usually uses it as a theme tune or something, don't they, to introduce something or other. So yes, if you were thinking that this could be a consideration of Chicago's Chess record label, you're right. But with a difference, actually, as we shall be prioritising the ladies, plus one or two seldom played classics along the way. And for the information, I'm sure you know this, but Chess were founded in 1947. They were originally Aristocrat Records, and two Polish brothers, Phil and Leonard Chess, founded them. Chess Records probably became America's greatest post-World War II blues label. based on the south side of Chicago. Their most famous location was at 2120 South Michigan Avenue, which is where the label was situated for about 10 years, I think. Yeah, 57 to 67. And it's associated with all the great names of Chicago blues, isn't it? Like Muddy Waters and Sonny Boy Williamson and Howling Wolf, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's an interesting one, isn't it, that that's where the music is tend to, if anybody does a program about Chess Records, they usually situate it within that Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, Sonny Boy kind of thing. But we're not going to do that today. As I say, we're going to start to concentrate, at least in the main anyway, on the girls. So let's get on with that then. The great vocalist Marlena Shaw sadly died this year. So as a small tribute to Marlena, who was basically a jazz singer, really, who was signed to Chess in about 1967, I think. Let's play something of hers. She was actually, she was appearing at the Chicago Playboy Club when she was spotted, and Chess signed her to their subsidiary, Cadet. And a 1969 album is considered a real classic. And I'll pick one from that as well, I think. But actually, the one that I'm not going to play, and you might be disappointed a little bit, is something called California Soul. That was an Ashford and Simpson composition. But the Fifth Dimension took it into the charts rather than Marlena Shaw. And the Marlena Shaw track sort of bubbled under for years and years and years, but then became a rare groove in the UK and ended up on all sorts of compilations during the acid jazz phase, I suppose you could say, from the 90s into the early 2000s. And I really like it. But I'll play something else because I think it'll set the tone quite nicely. This is also from 69. Listen to the lyrics. Absolutely fascinating lyrics. Rare groove as well. Short and sweet. This is Marlena Shaw and Liberation Conversation. Amazing track. I think it's amazing. Just 2 minutes, just not even 2 minutes, actually. That's Marlena Shaw. Just a great, great track there called Liberation Conversation, which is, she's kind of riffing on it, really. It's almost like an early form of rap in that sense of the word, that it's using vernacular dialect and just like groovy words to express something very important in many respects in the late 1960s. Written by Marlena Shaw and Richard Lee Evans, actually, a house writer who worked with her. It's a great, a very smart, let's say, piece of social observation that wouldn't be out of place today, really. So I thought we'd start with that in many respects. And we'll go to something completely different now, also on Chess. Now, Chicago's Rotary Connection were, I suppose, an experimental, mostly white band who also signed to Chess's subsidiary Cadet and were regarded by critics as a psychedelic soul band for a while. They briefly included Minnie Riperton. Do you remember Minnie Riperton? I think Minnie's still with us, I hope. And she was in their ranks for a while. And they released the first album in 1967 to somewhat mixed reviews, actually. They also backed Muddy Waters on his psychedelic blues album, which is called Electric Mind. I don't know if you've come across that, but it's very interesting, let's put it that way. And they also were the backing group, the session group, I suppose you could say, on Howling Wolf's equally odd 67 album called Howling Wolf. And that had a lot of sort of psychedelic undertones rather than overtones too. So anyway, mixed reviews all round in many respects. But later, billing themselves as the new Rotary Connection in 1971, their Hey Love album came out, and it included this absolute belter. Take a little listen to this.
Smiling on everyone.
What about that then, eh? That's 5 minutes of complete magic in the Brocken household. That I Am the Black Gold of the Sun by Rotary Connection from 1971 on their Hey Love album, which was released by Chess, actually on Chess's Cadet subsidiary. There were two subsidiaries to Chess by this time. The first one was Checker, and the extra one, as I mentioned before, was called Cadet. And all that they were really was to kind of draw the listener away a little bit from all of those Chess records that have been such a success in the growth and development of rhythm and blues. So if you were looking for a Muddy Waters album by the late 60s, he would be on Chess. But if you were looking for, let's say, a Rotary Connection album, they'd be on Checker or Cadet, as it moved further and further away from the initial R&B stuff. So it's got a very good idea, I think. And, you know, if you ever go to the States and start looking in the old X singles boxes and all the rest of it, pick up Cadet and Checker stuff, particularly Cadet, actually, because you'll find the weird stuff on Cadet, which has always got to be a good thing, hasn't it? Okay, next up, a single from 1963, which is actually recorded by Herb Abramson in New York City. Now, I don't know if you know the name of Herb Abramson, but he was the original partner of Ahmet Ertegun, Ahmet and Nesawi Ertegun, at Atlantic Records, but they fell out. And so Herb ended up having his own little label for a while, but then recording people and leasing them to other labels. And this is one of those. This is recorded in New York, but then leased to Chess in Chicago, where it was released on their Checker imprint. Actually, it got to number 23 on the pop chart over here too, so you should know this one. Tommy Tucker, High Heel Sneakers.
In case some fool might wanna find, put on your high heel sneaker, wear your wig hat on your head, put on your high heel sneaker, wear your wig hat on your head.
Just the boogie keeps on going, even, you know, they go to the end of the record and go, and it click the record off, and you'd still hear the boogie in the back of your mind, wouldn't you? Tommy Tucker, High Heel Sneakers from 1963, and that was a favourite of a lot of mods, wasn't it? You can imagine all the different versions of that, and all the clubs, like, you know, on Eel Pie Island, or the Ealing Club or maybe even the Marquee, the number of bands that did High Heel Sneakers, especially if they had those home counties accents as well. They put on your red dress, baby. I mean, actually, I wonder if Paul Jones ever did it, because he's quite posh, isn't he, Paul? A great vocalist, great harmonica player, but could you imagine maybe sniggering a bit if Paul Jones did that one? No hard feelings, Paul, honestly. Okay, next up, a lady from St. Louis who played with Little Milton in the late 1950s, but was then awarded a vocal slot when actually one night Milton didn't turn up for a show. And that's Fontella Bass. Yeah, yeah, you know the name. Nearly all of her singles to begin with were produced by Ike Turner, Here, There and Everywhere, really. But like many of her fellow African-American musos, Fontella moved to Chicago, and it was there that she signed for Checker. And she recorded several successful duets with Bobby McClure, great singer, really good singer, Bobby McClure, including that one, Don't Mess Up a Good Thing. Do you know that song? I first heard that actually by Ry Cooder many years later. That's a great, I'll have to dig that out and we'll play that version of it. Of course, over here, we knew Fontella Bass for Rescue Me, didn't we? Still gets played today on the radio, doesn't it? A big hit in 1965. And it was actually Chess's first million seller since Chuck Berry way back in the mid-1950s. But we won't play that because everybody plays that. And I've always liked this one. It was a B-side from 66 and it's called I Surrender. I love that. I love that. I've loved it for years. I Surrender by Fontella Bass. One of her B-sides, actually. Can't remember the A-side, but it's not as good as that anyway. She did a lot of singles during the mid to late 60s. That's a good track. And the vibes in it make it sound very northern. Don't you? You could imagine that one at Wigan Casino, can't you? Being knocked out by the DJs. And then they'd copy it and get bootlegs done and all sorts of things. Great that. Fontella Bass and I Surrender. And Fontella, you know, later moved to Paris. And she recorded two albums with the Art Ensemble of Chicago. You know, those artists and musos, jazz musicians who'd moved to Paris. Really cult classics to this day, you know, those albums, of course. And Fontella worked with them. And again, part of this fascinating journey undertaken by African Americans to Paris, which started in, well, post First World War and continues to this very day, really. Very interesting history of African American music. Somebody should write a book about that one of these days. I've done one a little bit, but that wasn't about an American. It was about a Liverpool black guy called Gordon Stretton. Very interesting story. Anyway, speaking as I was of late 50s previously, here's one from 1958. A big hit on both the US pop and R&B charts of that year. You'll probably know this. A guy who enjoyed a long career, pianist, singer, and songwriter, of course, Jimmy McCracklin, and his 1958 song, The Walk, which actually became a UK hit for The Inmates in the late 1970s. Do you remember that? They're really good. I've got it on a single somewhere in my box over there. But great song, great song. California-based, a Bay Area, I think. And Jimmy played at his sister-in-law's club and enjoyed a long recording career. He's one of those black artists in America who had made loads of recordings out for a variety of small labels from 1946 onwards, really. And eventually appeared on American Bandstand on the telly singing The Walk, which he'd written. And when it was later released by Checker in 58, it went to number 5 on the R&B charts and number 7 on the pop charts in America. And Bob Dylan actually has cited him on different occasions as a favourite. Jimmy McCracklin was one of his favourites. He enjoyed a long life, passed away at the age of 91, did Jimmy, in 2012. But he's left a really good kind of blues-based legacy, not strictly the blues, although that one was a good 12-bar, wasn't it? Really good stuff. Mitty Collier has had a long career as well, singing rhythm and blues and gospel, and recorded for Chess between 61 and 68. So next up is her secularised version of a gospel song that was written actually by the great James Cleveland, which became, I'll get to it eventually, which became a US pop hit in 63. And of course, Dusty Springfield absolutely loved it and duly covered it. Mitty Collier's I Had a Talk with My Man Last Night. Just great. I think that's brilliant. As is Dusty's version as well. She nailed it as well. That's Mitty Collier with the original version from actually a US pop hit in 63. I Had a Talk with My Man Last Night, which was a secularized version of James Cleveland's I Had a Talk with God. Mitty Collier, after she had some trouble with polyps early in the 70s, I think it was, she decided to give up R&B and soul singing altogether, and she devoted her voice, so to speak, solely to gospel music. So it's an interesting story of Mitty's. Okay, staying with the ladies again. Next up, a lady who is being called by some the Queen of the Blues. Not the Empress of the Blues, that's Bessie Smith, isn't it? But the Queen of the Blues. Born on a farm near Memphis, Tennessee, she left for Chicago in 1952, with her husband. And she was later spotted by the great Willie Dixon in Chicago. for whom she recorded this absolute cracker in 1964 for Checker, so on the Checker imprint. This is Coco Taylor, and just one of the great songs of all time for me. It's one of my favourite Chess recordings of all time. This is Coco Taylor and Wang Dang Doodle. I never get tired of hearing that. That's just a great song. Instrumentation's fantastic. It's as tight as a drum, but you still want to go out and spend some time at this, I mean, Wang Dang Doodle, wherever it's actually taking place. I know Coco was interviewed many years ago about this track, and she said, well, I didn't know what he was on about. You know, who's Abyssinia Ned and Razor Toten Jed and all these sorts of names. She said, what were you? She said, I turned to Willie Dixon and said, what were you thinking of when you were asking me to do that? Co, he said, I was thinking of a hit for you. And that was it. And it was big, great R&B hit there. Wang Dang Doodle, powerful interpretation of Willie Dixon's song. And of course, Willie's on the soundtrack as well. Can you hear him in the background as well? Wonderful. He wrote it directly for her. She re-recorded it actually several times years later and did a great version live whenever she was on, but she deservedly became very popular from the mid-70s onwards, actually, after signing a deal with Alligator Records. Some great records came out on Alligator. Co-recorded 9 albums with the company, and 8 of which were nominated for Grammys. Incredible output, incredible output. And she sadly died, co-sadly died in 2009, but what a wonderful voice, and by all accounts, a wonderful person as well, Coco Taylor. Okay, let's have another little classic now. Great female chess single from Sugar Pie DeSanto, no less. I'm sure you'll know this one. Soulful Dress.
Soulful Dress.
That's what you want, that to carry on, really, don't you? Another verse, another chorus, that would be great. Then an outro. Fantastic, that. You could do the frug to that one, couldn't you? Sugar Pie DeSanto and Soulful Dress. Sugar Pie was one of Johnny Otis's discoveries in the late 50s. And her biggest hit was that while she was at Chess. She was another one that like didn't stay at one label all the time and moved into different sort of areas a little bit as well. But didn't really equal Soulful Dress after that, which is a shame, really. Great voice. And it was only this year, 2024, that she was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame, actually. It was a bit late, I think. But there we are. There we are. Okay, let's go on to something a little bit different now. And we'll talk a little bit about Terry Callier. Have you heard of Terry Callier? Very interesting character. He was a soul and a folk and a jazz artist who was born and raised in North Chicago. And he knew, as a kid, I think, both Curtis Mayfield and Jerry Butler. And in 1962, he auditioned for Chess and recorded his first single for the label. At the same time, Terry was briefly in a duo with, get this, David Crosby, believe it or not. Now, it didn't last too long, I don't think. Well, everybody always fell out with David Crosby anyway, but anyway. It didn't last too long. He then recorded for Prestige, great jazz label, of course, and he wrote two songs that were picked up by one of my favourite psychedelic bands, actually, H.P. Lovecraft. Are you a fan of H.P. Lovecraft? Absolutely epic Spin, Spin, Spin. And also It's About Time were recorded by H.P. Lovecraft, and they were both Terry Callier songs, actually. If you haven't heard them, you're absolutely missing out. So first of all, find Spin, Spin, Spin. Anyway, it's just wonderful. Callier was then awarded a 3-album deal with Chess after his one-off with Prestige, from which this next track emerged in 1972.
Trying to indicate my state of mind, I turn you on, I tell you that I'm laughing just to keep from crying. Pretty music, when you hear it, keep on trying to get near it. A little rhythm for your spirit, oh, but that's what it's for. Come on in, here's the door. And I've seen a spell time in the sky. He thinks it's easy.
little fly. He's just a little bit freer than I. Now here's a mystery, and maybe you can help to make it clear to me. When you're fast asleep, then what is it that's lighting up the dreams you see? All of your tears, I can't conceal it. And all of your prayers may not reveal it. You got soul so you can feel it. And when you make the scene, well, you know what I mean. Hey, I've seen a sparrow get high and waste his time in the sky. He thinks it's easy to fly. He's just a little bit freer than I. When you find folks are giving you the running round, keep your game up tight. And if you must, just take your secrets underground. Now politicians are trying to speech you. Mad color watchers are trying to teach you. Very few will really try to reach you. If you're lost in a stack, that's okay. Come on, black. To deny that I'm just an average guy. And don't you know each little bird in the sky is just a little bit freer than I. Hey, ordinary Joe, although they say you're just a lazy so-and-so, what they think is real is nothing but an animated puppet show. So don't let time and space confuse you, and don't let name and form abuse you. When the big Joe Williams blues you, in the light of the sun you can see how they run. Oh, I've seen a sparrow get high and waste his time in the sky. And don't you know he thinks it's easy to fly. He's just a little bit freer than I.
That's a wonderful song. The lyrics are just fantastic, I think. You should take the lyrics, run them all off on a printer and put them in classrooms all over the country, really. Here as well as the United States. Terry Callier and the Amazing Ordinary Joe from a 1972 recording for Chess Records. And Terry had a variety of different careers. He became an academic, in actual fact, which was really interesting. And he also released a lot of music during the 1990s and 2000s. At times, he featured Paul Weller on his music, and actually Massive Attack, amongst others, too. And they were guests on his music. Really, really good. And, you know, it's just, that's the kind of lyric writing, really. Stands out, doesn't it? Okay, let's go straight into this one. I won't announce this. You'll just like it anyway.
To pass, I can do things for you, makes your heart feel glad. I can look in the skies and predict the rain. I can tell when a woman's got another man. I'm the one. I'm the one.
I can make you cry for me both day and night. I can heal the sick and raise the dead. And I can wake your little girl talk all out of your head. I'm the one. Well, I'm the one. I'm the one, I'm the one. The one they call the seven sun. Sounds so sweet, I'll make your loving heart even skip a beat. I can take you, baby, and hold you in my arms and make the flesh quiver. Lovely bones, I'm the one.
That's a good one, isn't it? Seventh Son. That's Willie Maybon. And like Jimmy McCracklin, Willie Maybon was one of the earlier batch of R&B singers based in Chicago. In fact, Maybon actually recorded for Chess while they were still called Aristocrat. So that's how early. Maybon was one of their first artists to record. In fact, it might have been the first, I think, record Willie Dixon's Seventh Son. But he wasn't unable to keep up the momentum and releases on other labels were unsuccessful. But that's an absolute classic, I think. And he was yet another African-American artist who made the move to Paris, where he sadly died back in 1985. Of course, Georgie Fame's, just his version of that song is a fantastic interpretation of it. It's a big hit in the UK back in the late 1960s. Okay, speaking of the 60s, let's have a bit of Jackie Ross now. This is from 64, reached number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 and is Selfish One.
Souvenir that just sits on a shelf.
Jackie Ross there, and another one that got a lot of plays during the acid jazz period in the 90s and early 2000s, and is something of a Northern favourite. It hasn't quite got the four to the floor beat really for Northern, but a very, very big record on those circuits. And it was her only big hit in America with Chess, and she later moved, one of those artists that was unsatisfied at Chess, and then she moved to different labels, several different labels, like Brunswick and those labels that involved Jerry Butler, but she was unable to duplicate her success, big success with Selfish One in the American charts anyway. Now, another young lady to be spotted by the aforementioned Johnny Otis, in this case, at the tender age of 14, was the legendary Etta James, whose upbringing in Los Angeles sounded just terrible, really awful. By the time Johnny Otis spotted her, she was singing with a female group, get this, called the Creolettes. And that was because of their light skin colour. And under Otis, the Creolettes became the Peaches. And the young Jamesetta Hawkins, her proper name, she then became Etta James. Some successes followed for the Peaches, but Etta James left to pursue a solo career. And in 1960, she signed a contract with Chess. And she recorded successful duets with Harvey Fuqua, actually, and had a couple of string-laden hits, a little bit like the Jackie Ross thing before, you know, lots of strings on it, such as At Last and Trust in Me. You'll probably know those songs. And they were recorded on her own. And Etta later recorded more gospel-y sounding things into the mid-1960s. So Something Got a Hold of Me is a good example. But then her career stalled by 65. And after a period of, I suppose, relative isolation, she only returned to recording in 1967. And Tell Mama was massive. It was a massive crossover hit. I'm sure you know that song. And the B-side of Tell Mama actually was this little gem. Actually a B-side of the great hit single Tell Mama, That I'd Rather Go Blind, by Etta James, of course. Possibly she was once one of the most overlooked R&B musicians ever, I think. And I think I'd Rather Go Blind also kind of went missing a little bit, didn't it, until it was dug out. And over here, anyway, Chicken Shack, the following year, featuring Christine Perfect, of course, had a reasonable hit with it on this side of the Atlantic as well. So it kept it in circulation as much as anything else. And it was only for Etta, it was only in later life, really, she received the credit she deserved, you know. I often think of those early years, you know, the Johnny Otis years. They sound a bit problematic to me, but we won't go into that. Anyway, let's go out on a high. Just time now for a classic Chess instrumental. Recorded way back in 1952 for Chess Records. It was an instant classic, sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands of records over the years, and is certainly one of the most advanced blues harp tracks that you will ever hear. This is Little Walter and his Nightcats and Duke. By the way, I'll see you soon.